This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Truss becomes the UK's new Prime Minister. She's inheriting an acute economic and cost of living crisis that the country's been facing in decades. The European Union's top diplomat advises bloc members to stock up on weapons. Their arsenals are running out due to oversupplying Ukraine with arms. Indonesians hold nationwide rallies in protest at the government's decision to increase fuel prices amid soaring inflation. The top story, Liz Truss officially becoming Britain's new Prime Minister during a meeting with Queen Elizabeth at her castle in Scotland. The Queen has asked Truss to form a new government. She's succeeding Boris Johnson, who officially tendered his resignation to the Queen early in the day. Johnson was forced to step down as Conservative Party leader 2 months ago following mass resignations in his cabinet. Now, in his farewell speech, Johnson pointed to Britain's economic hardships and said his successor would do anything to help people cope with rising energy prices. Besides the cost of living crisis, Johnson's government was also hit by a series of scandals, including COVID lockdown parties. He has promised unwavering support for his successor. The International Atomic Energy Agency says that urgent measures are needed to prevent a nuclear accident at the Russian-controlled Zaporizhzhia power plant in Ukraine. An IAEA report has expressed grave concerns about the condition of the plant, saying a nuclear safety and security protection zone needs to be established there. According to the report, damage has been observed at different locations at the facility, even close to the reactor buildings. Agency's chief, Rafael Grossi, is scheduled to brief the UN Security Council on the issue. Last week, an IAEA delegation under Grossi visited the plant amid warnings of a nuclear disaster after repeated shelling of the area. Moscow and Kyiv traded blame for the attacks. Early in the day, the two sides once again accused each other of new shelling of the facility. The European Union's foreign policy chief says that member states are running low on weapons because of the scale of arms deliveries to Ukraine.
The military stocks of most member states has been, I wouldn't say exhausted, but depleted in a high proportion because we have been providing a lot of capacity to the Ukrainians.
Now, Borrell also said that he regrets that EU did not begin training Ukrainian forces last year when some member states asked for it. Now, this follows informal discussions last week on EU-level military training mission in Ukraine. The Union has already provided 2.5 billion euros in military assistance to Kyiv since the war began in that country in late February. The figure includes a 500 million euro aid package approved in July. Activist and political analyst John Bosnich says that U.S. pressure on its European allies to actively support Ukraine increases the risk of a direct war with Russia.
The United States' pressure on Germany and other countries to get themselves directly involved in the conflict. So that risk rises as much as America pushes its colonies, which the EU has become, as much as it pushes the colonies to do what it says. Now, the people in Europe are demonstrating there are great numbers of people who are opposed to this situation, and that is the dampening factor which might reduce the risk. In the meantime, Russia is showing on the battlefield that the battle is so lopsided that for Europe to enter on the Ukrainian side, it would involve a serious multi-state war that would probably be called another world war. Whether it would become an atomic world war is not yet known, but this is definitely the threat of a world war that would spread from the local region to other areas around the world, other areas of conflict. This is a very, very dangerous crisis.
Germany says it will keep two of its nuclear power plants on standby to deal with potential energy shortages in the coming winter and ease high prices for consumers.
For me, the right conclusion to draw from this stress test is that we should keep this option after the end of the normal life of the nuclear power plants, and that we should put the two nuclear power plants in southern Germany in reverse so that they can be used again or continue to be used if the situation requires it, and that we do not deprive ourselves of this option.
The plants were about to shut down at the end of this year, but they would be in operation until next April. The measures are taken at Germany is struggling to come up with alternatives to Russian gas. Like many other European countries, Germany is grappling with an energy crisis after Russia shut down its gas supplies to the continent. Before the beginning of the Ukraine war, more than half of the gas consumed in Germany was imported from Russia. And that has caused a hike in fuel prices and ultimately drove up inflation rates. Fears of recession are now growing as Germany's industrial orders slumped for the sixth consecutive month in July. Staying with Europe, Italy is also feeling the strain of record energy prices. The government has announced a plan to turn down the heating in homes and businesses in the winter as part of efforts to reduce energy consumption. Now, under the plan, the temperature in apartment blocks and other public buildings will be regulated at 19 degrees Celsius, which is 1 degree lower than before. For industrial premises, it will be at 17 degrees Celsius. France is also trying to reduce energy consumption. The Vert Marine Company, which operates pools and ice rinks across France, says it will close nearly 30 facilities due to soaring heating costs. The company says its annual energy bill has increased by over sixfold to $99 million. It's also planning to lay off some 6,000 staff. The move has infuriated the sports and education groups. The French Swimming Federation has demanded immediate reopening of the pools. In Indonesia, people have held nationwide protests as anger is mounting over the government's decision to increase fuel prices. The capital, Jakarta, ralliers gathered outside the parliament building, where more than 3,000 forces were deployed. Thousands of police forces have also been guarding the city's gas stations. On Monday, university students staged similar rallies demanding the government reverse its decision. Indonesia raised subsidized fuel prices by around 30%. Labor unions say the new prices will hurt workers and the urban poor the most. Meantime, Israel has announced plans to build a new settlement across the Green Line in Al-Quds. It's planned to include 700 residential units and a synagogue. The project will be constructed just meters from the Palestinian village of Beit Safafa, southeast of Al-Quds. Beit Safafa is almost entirely encircled by Israeli settlements. Tel Aviv has recently sped up the settlement construction on Palestinian lands, despite international outcry. All those settlements are deemed to be illegal under international law. We've talked to political commentator Saeed Nimr, and he explains what he calls Israel's ethnic cleansing in the occupied Palestinian territories.
In reality, we know that the Israeli plans generally is to take the Palestinian land and to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians from the land and to replace them with these settlers coming from all over the world. Now, the whole thing is in Israel, it's about time that the international community should understand and should see exactly the Israeli answers to all their questions concerning what's going on in this area, or the peace talks, or whatever the two-state solution that they are suggesting sometimes, that the Israeli answer to all these are, you know, is going on with its settlements and with atrocities. And it's about time now for this international community to understand the nature of this colonialist, apartheid, racist regime in the area, and should take some kind of action against this kind of a state.
Palestinians have held a massive funeral for a man who was fatally shot by Israeli forces during a raid in the occupied West Bank. Mohammed Sabana was killed in the Jenin refugee camp early this morning. Palestinian media says scores of Israeli troops, backed by armored vehicles, forcefully evacuated people, including women and kids, from their homes and held them outside. Several people were also arrested in the operation. Palestinian resistance groups have denounced the attack. They say that they won't give up their resistance, despite the regime's escalation at deadly rates across the occupied territories.
It is our right and the right of our people in the heavenly and earthly laws to fight the Israeli regime. What do we want? Will the regime come to kill us and we say thank you? Today we say to it, and the story of peace and negotiations is an incomplete past action that will not happen. It will not happen. Resistance today is the only language between us and the occupying regime. Victory is ours and defeat is for them.
Resistance movement Hamas also denounced the raid. Tensions remain high across the West Bank as Israel steps up its raids and violent crackdown against Palestinians almost on a daily basis. According to a Palestinian figure, the Israeli regime has killed around 120 people in the occupied West Bank and the besieged Gaza Strip since the beginning of this year. The Canadian Prime Minister has condemned weakened stabbing attacks in Saskatchewan province. It says that such violent incidents have become all too common in this country. Justin Trudeau says that incidents are shocking and heartbreaking. At least 10 people were killed and 18 more got wounded in the stabbings that took place on Sunday. Police say they have found the body of one of the two brothers suspected of the attacks. A massive manhunt is underway for the other brother. This is one of the deadliest mass killings in Canadian history. While the worst incident of gun violence took place in 2020, it saw a man kill 22 people in Nova Scotia province. A U.S. federal judge has approved a request by former President Donald Trump to appoint a special master as the FBI investigates documents seized from his Florida home. The ruling enables Trump to designate a legal representative to review the bulk of seized evidence and decide what is off-limits to prosecutors. The judge has also ordered a halt to the Justice Department's investigation of the records. The department's probe looks at Trump's removal of government documents from the White House when he left the Oval Office in January 2021. FBI agents took 11 sets of such records, including top-secret files, from the ex-president's Mar-a-Lago residence during a raid last month. The United States is at warp speed when it comes to weapons sale. Lately, Washington has approved potential sales of $1.1 billion worth of arms to Taiwan amid high tensions with China. Now, a new report indicates that the U.S. is seeking to expedite its arms sale to allies to better compete with countries like China.
The largest contributor to the vast sums of money spent on defense and arms each year is the United States military. The U.S. led the ranking of countries with highest military spending in 2021, with $801 billion U.S. dollars dedicated to the military. That constituted 38% of the total military spending worldwide that year, which totaled to $2.1 trillion U.S. dollars. In essence, the U.S. government is the world's largest arms dealer, with all the responsibility that entails. The Center for Civilians in Conflict underscored this point in its January 2018 report, with great power modifying U.S. arms sales to reduce civilian harm, which provided a series of practical recommendations on how to avoid situations in which U.S. arms fall into the wrong hands or become associated with corruption, human rights abuses, violations of the laws of war, and human suffering. However, current U.S. policy continues to fall short by all of these measures. Selling arms to Saudi Arabia to be used in Yemen for killing civilians and American weapons ending up in the hands of Al-Qaeda terrorists are some instances. Now, a Wall Street Journal report says the Pentagon has launched a wide-ranging push to expedite sales of U.S. arms, including drones, guns, helicopters, tanks, and other weaponry to foreign allies in an effort to better compete with China and refill the arsenals of friendly nations that have given military gear to Ukraine. The Pentagon last month created a task force of senior officials to examine long-standing inefficiencies in U.S. sales of billions of dollars of weaponry to foreign countries. The so-called Tiger Team will look at ways for the Defense Department to streamline parts of the program, according to a senior defense official, with the aim of putting American weapons into partners' and allies' hands faster. The United States promised European allies who have provided military equipment to Ukraine that it would be able to replenish their stocks, but the U.S. defense industry is facing a backlog. Meanwhile, the European Union's foreign policy chief says member states are running low on weapons because of the scale of arms deliveries to Ukraine.
28 hours before.
Before taking office, U.S. President Joe Biden announced that his administration would not check its values at the door to sell arms. But the value of U.S. arms sales notifications for 2022 is rising again and has already surpassed that of the previous year. So this begs the question if Biden fulfilled his campaign pledge to shift his country's policy on arms sales.
Joe Biden's biggest claim in the 2020 election campaign was to restore America's global position with an interactive approach and expand cooperation with other countries. However, contrary to his pacifist election slogans, Joe Biden has appeared more as a broker of violence. Washington has increased military aid and arms sales to Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea under the pretext of confronting China at the same time as reviving American military exercises with these countries. Japan is considering deploying 1,000 long-range cruise missiles to strengthen its counterattack capability against China. South Korea has also demanded an increase in military and weapons support from the United States, while at the request of the United States, Seoul and Tokyo participated in the NATO summit for the first time. AUKUS agreement with Australia in the form of building a nuclear submarine for this country, along with increasing military cooperation with the claim of countering China's movements and maritime security, also forms another dimension of the U.S. militarism.
Well, I think it's very little to do with Russia, as far as Taiwan is concerned, because the Taiwan is regarded by the United States as an unsinkable aircraft carrier against the influence of China.
As of August, government-to-government arms sale offers have already reached $57 billion. In other words, there is no wholesale reversal on arms sales under the Biden administration, in volume or value, nor with regard to the human rights records of recipients. In addition to deepening internal differences, Biden has actually intensified the atmosphere of tension on the world stage, which can be seen in the war in Ukraine, the crisis in Taiwan, and the American tension in West Asia. These behaviors of the Democratic tenant of the White House have raised the question in the public mind. Is Joe Biden's mission to restore American global integration, or is he a utilitarian broker of violence?
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
When your horse returns to our camp riderless,
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي
The ocean of dua.
Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an waliday.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of Ziyarat al-Ashura. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ.
May Allah distance from His mercy the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan. We had to first introduce who these two are, and then we could better understand Al-Ziyad and Al-Marwan. In the previous episodes, we discussed who Ziyad was and what history revealed us about him. Now, about Marwan ibn Hakam. This is his full name. Marwan ibn Hakam is a man who is pretty well known for his extreme hatred against Allah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the progeny of Ahlul Bayt. The Holy Prophet sallallahu during his lifetime is reported to have cursed both him and his father Hakam. In one of her testimonials, Aisha is reported to have openly said these words to Marwan: "Ashhadu لقد لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أباك ولعنك وأنت الطريد ابن الطريد." This is what Aisha says. She says, "I bear witness that the Apostle of Allah cursed you, your father, and you are the expelled, الطريد, the son of expelled, ibn al-Tarid." In another tradition, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Abdullah is reported to have said, "Sami'tu Abu Abdullah alayhi salam yaqul, I heard Abu Abdullah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, saying, 'Kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi min hujratih.' The Apostle of Allah sallallahu came out of his room. ومروان وأبوه يستمعان إلى حديثه فقال له الوزغ ابن الوزغ." When the Prophet came out of his room and found Marwan and his father spying and listening carefully to his speech, so he said to Marwan, "You are a lizard, son of a lizard." This tradition is really noteworthy because of the other traditions we have, and they can make us, or better say, they can help us get to know the true meaning of lizard. There are some traditions, specifically from the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who says that when the incident of fire on Prophet Ibrahim happened, there were different animals and insects involved. The frogs were extinguishing that fire from Ibrahim, and the lizards were blowing onto it to increase the fire. And hence it was prohibited to kill the frogs, and it was ordered to kill these lizards. There is one more interesting yet tradition from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who says, "Indeed, lizards were a tribe from the tribes of Bani Israel who would vilify the children of prophets and hate them, and so Allah transformed them into lizards." Anyway, this tradition of lizards, according to authoritative scholars, is considered as mashhur, and it is really well known, and reveals that Holy Prophet sallallahu saw the inner forms of Marwan and his father as lizards. We seek protection to Allah from having the apparent form of human beings and our hearts as the hearts of animals.
When people ask, "I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right," go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, "I'm confused," say, "Please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion." You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is: do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So now you know who we are talking about. This is Marwan ibn Hakam, who Rasulullah, the Apostle of Allah, calls Lizard ibn Lizard. In the beautiful expression of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, who spoke about a group of people who appear to be humans but are truly animals, we see this. فَالصُورَةُ صُورَةُ إِنسَانٍ وَالْقَلْبُ قَلْبُ حَيْوَانٍ. The apparent form is the form of human beings, but the heart is the heart of an animal. In another sermon, Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said, فَقُبْحًا لَكُمْ يَا أَشْبَاهَ الرِّجَالِ وَلَا رِجَالِ. So shame on you, O semblances of men and not men. So due to their ill behavior and spying for the polytheists, the Holy Prophet ﷺ is reported to have expelled both Hakam and Marwan and his father from Medina to the town of Taif. Ibn Kathir, in his Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya, writes, وَقَدْ كَانَ أَبُوهُ الْحَكَمْ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ أَعْدَاءِ النَّبِيِّ. He writes about his father, Hakam. Indeed, Marwan's father, Al-Hakam, was from the arch enemies of the Prophet. Surely, he accepted Islam during the victory of Mecca and came to settle in Medina. Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ banished him to Taif, where he finally died. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Dehlavier missile, its range and anti-armor capabilities. Despite significant advances in both aerial and maritime warfare, the ground war still retains a special significance and plays a decisive role in determining the outcome of modern warfare. In this program, we will take a look at a new Iranian-built missile with an impressive range and anti-armor capabilities, the Dehlavier missile, Please stay with us. Military hardware which can play a decisive role in ground warfare includes tanks, armoured personnel carriers and armoured vehicles. Thus, missiles which can penetrate armoured vehicles and tanks, destroying them, are of special significance in ground warfare. As technology advances and more formidable tanks and armoured personnel carriers are built, so too more sophisticated and deadly missiles with armour-piercing capabilities are being developed. A new generation of armor-piercing missiles have been developed with powerful warheads and the ability to be guided to their target from a long distance away. One such missile is the Iranian-built Dehlaviyeh missile, which, considering its armor-penetrating capabilities, is classified as one of the most powerful anti-armor missiles of its kind in the world. Stay with us for a brief look at this state-of-the-art, armor-piercing, Iranian-built missile. The Dehlaviyeh missile is a guided anti-armor missile which has been developed by Iran's Defense Industries Corps, which is part of Iran's Defense Ministry. The missile was officially unveiled at a ceremony on 8th of July 2012, presided over by Iran's Defense Minister at the time, Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi. The missile's name, Dehlaviyeh, is derived from the place where Dr. Mustafa Chamran was martyred. Dr. Mustafa Chamran was an Iranian scientist who served as the first defense minister of the Islamic Republic of Iran after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, and he was also a member of the Iranian parliament, the Majlis. The Dehlaviyeh missile has many similarities to the Russian armor-piercing Kornet missile and is considered to be one of Iran's most powerful armor-penetrating missiles. In recent years, the missile has become operational and has been used by both the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, and the Iranian army. According to data provided by Iran's Defense Ministry, the missile has an effective range of between 100 to 5,500 meters. The Dehlaviyeh missile has a very modern laser guidance system, which makes it resistant to all kinds of electronic warfare measures. According to former Defense Minister, Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi, the missile has a very powerful warhead. It has the ability to penetrate thick armor. It is propelled by a powerful rocket engine, and it is light enough so that it can be carried by individuals on the battlefield. All these characteristics make the Dehlaviyeh missile a unique, powerful, and effective weapon of war. The Dehlaviyeh missile has been tested and proven to be effective against all sorts of tanks and armoured personnel carriers. The missile can also be used against all moving and stationary armoured targets, as well as helicopters and even vessels at sea. Thus, just like the Tufan, the Tundar and the Tusan family of missiles, which have also been developed by Iran's Defense Ministry, the Dehlaviyeh missile should also be considered as a multi-purpose missile. The Dehlaviyeh missile has a total weight of 22.7 kilograms and its warhead weighs 6.8 kilograms. The warhead is a two-stage warhead with the ability to penetrate 1,200 millimeters of hard armor. The range of the missile is reduced to 3,500 meters if a night vision system is used for launching the missile. Also, in a special ceremony in July of 2021, a new, more powerful and deadly version of the Dehlaviyeh missile was unveiled in a parade of the IRGC forces. The new missile has an improved range of 8 kilometers and can penetrate 1,300 millimeters of hard armor. And just like its older model, it is laser-guided. The older version of the Dehlavier missile is coded 1M133M9, and the new version of the Dehlavier missile is coded 2M133M9. The missile has a speed of 250 meters per second.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss about the problems, questions, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor Salman Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al Mustafa University and also a researcher on the Islamic issues in the Hawza Ilmi Afqa. Well, in our previous sessions, we have been discussing about the relationship with environment that needs to be guided to the children. And at the same time, you talked about the philosophical reasoning that's also important. That's something that's underlying all these concepts.
Yes, exactly. What is important is, as I said, the child should be made to realize that all of our efforts are based upon the realization of the truth, the absolute truth.
Okay.
Allah Almighty is the embodiment of absolute truth. He is Al-Haqq.
Yes.
Everything that is good, everything that is right, everything that is infinite is there in God.
Yeah.
That is the foundation of all our thought processes. That has to be inculcated. That in all our endeavors, we are looking for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something natural because God Almighty has gifted us with this urge to find the truth, to find the infinite, whether it is in the form of the love that we have of knowledge, whether it is the love of goodness that is there in the form of our human fitra, nature,
yeah,
the intrinsic divine nature. Even when we look, we adore things which are beautiful, they attract us because there's beauty, there's truthfulness in it, there's goodness.
Attractness in them.
So everything that is takes us towards divinity, to becoming
spirituality,
absolute.
Yeah.
That is what we are after. That has to be brought out in the human being, in the child. The love of goodness, the love of the truth. And the best thing is to show our children the signs of Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
Which are, they are spread out in the universe. And also in their souls, within themselves, their thinking, their feelings. We need to make our children realize that this is what is given to, has been given to us, gifted to us by Allah Almighty. And these are His signs.
Yeah.
And through them, we want to reach Him.
Okay.
And through them, we want to realize the truth. We have to understand the truth. He is the truth. But that is not just knowing. It's just not realizing,
okay,
in the cognitive sense. It has to translate into His love for Him. For the love of the truth.
All right.
And it has to translate into our actions.
Okay.
Through the skills that we develop in ourselves, carrying out perfect things, the best things possible, the good practices. When it comes to the environment, the whole universe is the environment in which we live. Environment is not just the immediate environment we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to take off the immediate environment.
Yeah.
We don't make air pollution, we don't make sound pollution, we don't make pollute things around us, we keep things nice and tidy. That is the very bare minimum.
Okay.
But we have to look beyond that. We have to look at the whole...
Out of the box.
Exactly. Look at the whole scheme of things.
Yeah.
The universe, discover it. Wherever the Quran mentions tadabbur, fikr,
yeah,
taqul, it's about the signs of Allah.
Yeah.
Discovery. Scientific discovery, yes. But based on a foundational philosophical understanding of the universe. And after that discovery is the harnessing of the universe and its,
yeah,
forces for the betterment. So that could be technology.
Yeah. We'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. And we have Professor Salman Naqvi with us. And we are discussing about the relationship with environment and philosophical reasoning to be taught to the children.
So, as I was saying before, that we have to provide the children with that philosophical basis and understanding.
Yeah.
And then that should extend into the scientific understanding of the universe.
All right.
Its discovery, exploring. I mean, the sky's the limit. The child should be inculcated with this love of understanding the universe, exploring it, discovering it. I mean, it's not just the heavens, and I'm not just talking about astronomy. I'm talking about the whole of the planet, the animals, the plant kingdom. We have to make our children understand the bounties and the gifts that have been given to us by Allah Almighty, to discover them and to benefit from them
and
from their beauty.
Yeah.
And to maintain the environment. Today, one of the problems, just look at the issue of this disease that is spreading, the COVID, the corona. One of the reasons given is that we, as human beings, are encroaching upon the natural habitat of the animals.
Yeah.
And we are encroaching upon them. We are destroying the natural ecology of the planet, and then we expect that we remain protected from the natural things that may
happen to us. The disasters.
Yes, so there are so many things. So many disasters are caused by us human beings.
All right.
And especially our israf, our not taking care of these resources, not maintaining a balance, not using things in a proper measure. But we need to advance our scientific knowledge. We have to advance the technology. Wherever the Quran talks about thinking, meditation,
contemplation.
As I said, scientific discovery based on a sound philosophical understanding. And beyond science is technology.
Yes.
How we employ this scientific understanding to harness the forces of nature.
Yeah.
When you build dams, when you build, make electricity, when you make nuclear energy, you're employing the forces of nature and you are harnessing them for the sake of mankind. And this has to be done. Our beloved leader, Imam Khamenei, is emphasizing on this fact that the Islamic Ummah, and especially the Iranian nation, has to progress and advance in science and technology. Because it is the proper interaction with nature, with our environment, taking from nature and giving back to it what it deserves.
All right.
We need to maintain a balance, and that can only be managed under the umbrella of wilaya.
Yeah, so you're trying to say that we just don't need to teach our children only proper use of resources is only at home. Even the proper use of resources is in the environment as well, at a very early level. I'll talk more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam Kadhim عليه السلام said, "It is a recommended practice for a child to play in his childhood so that he becomes patient in his adulthood."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're discussing about the relationship of nature and how we can teach that to our children.
Unfortunately, to say that today the advancement in technology is overtaking the advancement and progress in our human values, and moral values in the philosophical understanding. Today, technology is outmaneuvering us.
Okay.
We have to put a stop to that. Our children have to be stopped. The advancement of society, of technology, social media, is huge. We can't stop that advancement to take place. We need to protect our children. We need
control.
To channelize and control them, not to stop them.
Monitor.
We need to channelize that.
Okay.
I mean, so, yes, today children are engrossed in these
social media
apps,
games,
war games, and it's all fighting and killing and terror. Instead of that, there's a lot of information on the net about the planet Earth,
okay.
About the environment.
How to protect it.
Just to discover it.
To explore it.
To explore it. You have an application which will tell you the position of the stars. But, I mean, in this technological advancement, there are good things, there are bad things. We want to teach our children and to inculcate in our children the philosophical understanding. Based on that, the scientific advancement has to be taken in its stride, and the technological advancement has to be taken in its stride. And we want to channelize this, our children, towards the positive aspects.
Okay.
How to make them discover. Today, you cannot stop that. It is happening. But our ideological and moral values should have a control over them.
Okay.
And that can only be done, as I said, under the supervision of the worthy authority of a wali who is competent. And starting from home, it has to go into society. Children have to be taught about that authority in the home.
Yeah.
How to manage their relationship with the environment. It's not just, as you said, floating on. No, it goes beyond that.
Okay.
It's managing the balance in the environment and how we use its forces and how we harness them for our betterment.
And with a proper measure, you said.
In the proper measure.
Not excessive.
And a balance.
Yeah.
What is, as I said, zuhd.
Yeah.
I was talking about zuhd. Zuhd, one of the meanings I told you that Imam Ali said, that it was living
as
in this world as you have to live in
forever.
It forever, but be prepared to leave it even if you depart tomorrow. But another meaning, giving back to the community, to the to nature, more than that what you're taking.
What you're taking, you have to give back to the
more than that.
All right.
True zuhd is
right.
That.
Thank you so much, Professor Nakavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. You can go to the tab, Call of Islam, and out there you can search Islamic Upbringing, and you'll find all our episodes over there. Thank you so much for being with us once again. And in case you have any questions, you have any issues, you have any anything you want to ask about the Islamic upbringing of your children, you can feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.